Especially to the mothers. And so this is Mother's Day, but this message is not just for mothers. It's hopefully for everyone else as well, too. We're going to look at three areas. First of all, the first one is with regards, as I was thinking about mothers and kind of some of the things that they do. I was thinking about one thought in particular, but then I thought of a second one. And so it's contained in two words. The words would be questions. And then the second one that I was thinking of, first of all, was the word search. Second of all, some trivia that I'd like to just cover a little bit. And then third, we'd like to take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother and their relationship, a couple things with regards to that. I started out thinking about the word search as some of the things that a mother might do as some of her day-by-day activities, but then I was thinking more of the questions that they might get. And so I'm going to have, just as you had a chance to give some of your hymns out, I'm going to ask just quickly if there's any mothers that were asked any questions today. Go ahead and just quickly tell me, raise your hand, just any questions that the mothers had today that they can think of or remember? Who's going to make dinner tonight? Okay. Any other ones? Sure, you had a lot of questions. You know, like, why is the sky blue? Why? Where do the squirrels go at night, you know? You know, those kind of questions. Any other questions? Well, maybe they decide to ask you a question about where's my clothes for today, or where's my keys for the car or for the house. So those are some of the things that are constantly, that a mother, as they think about these things, are asked all the time. With regards to questions, one thing that they may be asked somewhere along the way, as a mother in particular, is what is the purpose of life? And sometimes that's a hard question because people, even as a mother, has a difficult time trying to figure maybe that out for themselves as well, not only as for the children as well. With regards to the Bible, a mother might say the purpose of life is contained in the faith and in the Bible and the things that with regards to the church. But some people would say, well, that's just a crutch for the past. There's been some of people that says, hey, you really don't need that. In the reality, we have our own self to take and do things. And so we don't need that crutch of churches or Bibles or the faith. And so to answer the purpose of life, they may go off in another direction. They might consider evolution over creation, for example, and say that maybe that's more in the line of reality as far as with regards to science and so forth. So those are just a couple things that they might do with regards to questions. And I'm sure as you think about questions, there's a long list. Sometimes you have the answer, sometimes you may not. But with regards to that, again, questions, sometimes the mother is perhaps the only source that a child can go to, especially in this day and age when there's maybe more single mothers. And they don't have a father, and so a young child will only have a mother to go to. So a mother may have a lot of questions that they would have to think about and try to come up with some answers sometimes. With regards to searching, we have something that's a big help in some ways, perhaps, and maybe not so much of a help, but I find the Internet a big help to me as far as searching and finding things that you never would think were there. And in fact, when I did a search on Mother's Day, I don't know how many searches it came up with as far as websites, but it was like a huge amount of number, and it was only done in like less than under a second, very easily. And so all these things were on, I didn't look them all up, of course, I'd be there forever, but again, as I said, sometimes it's helpful to take and have some tool, like the Internet, to take and help a mother do some searching. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23:23. It says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" So it's this idea sometimes where they were just talking about playing this game of hide and seek with the kids, and so the children play that. But in the cases of mankind and God, is there any place that man can hide where he cannot see? And he says, no, there is no place you can hide from God, no matter how much we might think that we can. And so in our search of different things, there's no place to hide in his search of our lives if he wants to take a look at it, and as he does look at it from time to time. So there's a few ideas with regards to what mothers do on an ongoing basis of searching and answering questions. With regards to a little bit of trivia, the second thing is I was thinking about how many times the word mother or mothers with apostrophe S are found in the King James Bible. So, and again, because of having things that searched it out, it was kind of easy. How many do you think? How many occurrences do you think of those words that happen are in the Bible? Anybody have an idea? Huh? Mother or mothers or mother apostrophe S? 100? Okay. 1,000? Well, it comes up with over 300. And most of them are with regards to mothers. Now, I was thinking about that. I said, well, maybe most of them are found mother in every book of the Bible. So I started looking at the different references, and there's a great deal of mother mentioned, or mothers or mother, in the Old Testament. That's where you happen to find most of them. The New Testament has some, mostly more in the Gospels, but then there's not so much in the rest of the New Testament. And so in the Old Testament, first the mothers quite a few times, and so it's just a little bit of trivia of the word mothers is found in the Bible, and perhaps you might want to search that out and find out what they might have to say on those things on your own as from time to time. And so we had, with regards to some of the things that they do on an ongoing basis, asking questions and answering them, searching for things for themselves and for their family or for a person. We find that they're mentioned in the Bible, so it's not something that's foreign to the Bible at all by any means. But then I'd like to just take a look a little bit at the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother. First of all, let's turn to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2 for that. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Now, these are recorded in God's Word. There's three things, as I said, with regards to the relationship between him and his mother after he was born. But that doesn't mean that that is all that was there. But this is what God's Word gives us. Chapter 2 of Luke, and starting at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child, Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And so you might think that's kind of surprising, but again, they were traveling with a large group of people, as it says. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And so it wasn't where he was just left on his own, they were with other people, or so they assume. But then they realized that he wasn't there. And it continues on here and says, and they, when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. So again, as we talked about questions, as we talked about the idea of searching, here they were searching for their own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers
both hearing them and asking them questions. And so we realize that, again, as children are missing, that they say the first beginning part is the most important part of trying to find them or locate them, if they're going to have a chance at that. Well, they had other people sort of taking care of them, so they didn't have to worry so much about these kind of things at that time. But here he was at 12 years of age, and it says they did find him in Jerusalem, in the temple, doing what? Talking to the teachers, hearing them, and asking them questions. And so, as I said, the mothers, one of the things that they do is ask questions and also search. They were searching for him, and he was asking questions. But then they go on, and then we find out where she asked the question. And verse 47 continues on and says, "And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And so the question to him was, where were you? We were worried over you, very concerned over you, and the fact that we couldn't find you. And so this is the question that Mary gives to the son at 12 years of age, as it says here. And his reply was in verse 49. "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them." As I said, sometimes as a mother we ask questions, and they also are asked questions, and sometimes they may have the answers and sometimes they may not. Here they got a reply, got an answer, but she didn't understand the reply at this time, and she just took that under consideration. And says, "And they went down," in verse 51, "with them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." And so even though she heard his answer, and even though she didn't understand it, she still retained that information. She still kept that in the back of her mind and thinking about those things down through the time as he continued to grow. As he continued to grow, it says in verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And so here was this person, their son, as he continues to grow up. And this is one of the incidences that are recorded about Mary and their son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was at 12 years of age. There was another time that we won't go to, but it's found in John chapter 2, and it's found after he was 30 years of age and was after his first miracle, when she responds to the people about what? What did she tell the people to do? Right. Yep, and if whatever he says, do it. And so you have that just little thing there that whatever he says, do it. But now he's up at 30 years of age. Why do I say that? It's because he's in his time when doing his public ministry. And so it's up in years. And whatever he says to do it, she could trust whatever he would do. She had that much kind of trust in him. And so there was that that's been recorded between Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and breaking in at verse 25, says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." And so here we have the cross scene. His mother is there witnessing what is going on. And so this is now after his public ministry is over. It's ended because of his death. And it says, and verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. We read about another thing in Luke's gospel there that was Mary's concern. The question, what is he doing? And why did you wander away from us? We didn't know where you were. And very much concerned and worried. And now the table is flipped, where now the son can take and turn around and worry about the mother and make sure she's taken care of. We don't know anything about what happened to Joseph. It would seem that Joseph was not around. And so it was his mother that was left. And so he wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of, and was taken care of by the other one that was staying there. Mother, woman, behold thy son, and then mother, and then it says to the disciple, behold thy mother. And so that responsibility, and so there was a concern, taking care of the worry that sometimes are taking place in people's lives. The mother worries constantly about their children, but then sometimes there's the tables flipped where they have to take and take the other way and do that, and he does do that. And so we have these three things as I talk about Mary and Jesus, the relationship. We have these three things recorded. Were there many other things? Yeah. But they're not recorded in God's Word, other than the fact that of the birth that took place. And so a mother and son's relationship is put out by this means. But as she saw her son dying on the cross there, we realize that Christ was dying for his mother. We also realize he was dying for all mothers. He was also dying for all grandmothers, and all great-grandmothers, and all great-great-grandmothers. In other words, he was dying for all the women of the world. He was also dying for not just them, but also all men and all children. He was dying for everybody. His mother was just one of those that he was dying for as well. And in fact, as you think about his death, perhaps you'll think about it in terms of this morning, he's died for you. Have you realized that he has died for you and accepted that offer, that gift of salvation of his death on behalf of your life? So those are three things, the fact of searching and the questions that they get. I was thinking also with regards to searching. Herod, remember when Christ was born, that Herod did a search. And for 2 years and under, he killed all the babies because he wanted to destroy the fact of what Christ was coming for. He was worried that Christ was going to come and take over his place as a ruler based on what he had heard. And so there was much sadness. So many times mothers might be very happy, but also there's many times of sadness and tragedy. And so Herod's search ended up in having many, many people killed, but he didn't get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was protected as they were moved on, according to the scriptures that we read in Matthew there. I'd like to take, and besides those three areas that we looked at, just add one more area this morning, and that's about Christ and his own life. And there's much that you could say, of course, about that, but I'm going to take and read. I'm sure as I read this, you'll sort of understand or realize what it is, but it's from the Old Testament, and just follow along as I are enlisting as I read this again. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And so as you listen to that, you realize that that was the Ten Commandments given. It's repeated again in the book of Deuteronomy. That was from Exodus chapter 20. But then again, it was repeated over again in Deuteronomy. But the Ten Commandments was given to the people of Israel. And it was given at the time of a time when the mountain was quaking, and it says, as it continues on in verse 18, there it says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they moved and stood afar, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to test you, and that his ears may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And so they were willing to take and listen to Moses, to take and try to do all that this was, but we realize that they failed miserably, as all of us would fail to take and do these commandments. And so it shows us that even though this is what God's standard was, yet nobody has been able to take and keep that standard until the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that little bit of introduction, let's turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5 this morning. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and beginning at verse 1, and I'll read this story. As I start reading it, you'll perhaps realize again the story and remember it. But John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made well of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there thus now a long time, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made well? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, and took up his bed and walked, and the same day was the Sabbath. So there's the start of the story, which you perhaps have heard many times in Sunday school or on your own reading, about this healing of this person that was had some sort of a sickness at that particular time. And it would seem that sort of a strange kind of events kind of taking place there that they would be healed in this manner. We realize that anybody that's not feeling well or is sick certainly would want to be taken and made better or made well. And there's some other things I'd like to take and just go through with this area as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and his life at this particular point. He was 30 years of age, as we find in Luke's genealogy, and then he had about 3 years of public ministry before he was going to the cross there. And so, as I said already, the only three incidences that we have in Scripture that are recordable are the one at 12 years of age, and then the one after the 30 years of age. Actually, both of the other ones are after the 30 years of age. And then there's the one miracle that we talked about of the water into wine, and then also when he was at the cross there. But he was at 30 years of age, and he really didn't do anything much except growing in favor with God and man. I'm sure he did a whole lot of things, but God's word didn't include all those things about his life for whatever reason. We don't have that recorded. But we do have the fact of after he became a public out in the public, here's one thing that he was, and this would be about probably in the middle of those 3 years, that this happened to take place. And so it says in verse 1, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Some might think that this was the Passover that they were going and doing, but that's not necessarily the case. But whatever whichever one it was, and some of these thoughts I've been able to take and look at Bill McDonald's survey of the New Testament and think about some of these things after I've read these and thought about these and enjoyed some of his thoughts as well too. He was thinking, here's the Ten Commandments that we just read about, and I read to you, and he's the person that's the one that instituted from God the Father and him back in the old times, and here he comes now on the scene. He's still doing what the law requires, to have these feasts, even as the law was there. So he was the one that instituted it, and he's still doing what are the requirements of the law before these people as well too. And so he does go end up in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate, which I guess they can find. They know where it's at, and here we find that there was this pool that had five porches at that time, in this particular time of the Lord Jesus Christ and what was going on there. Some might think that these five pools might represent the law. There's five books that in the Old Testament of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the fact that the law, really, even though it was given, and even though we try to follow it, we can't do that. And so it's kind of like the inability of keeping the law that was suggested, is what maybe five would mean, just out of a side thought. But anyways, there was these people all gathered together, and shows you the effect of sin in people's lives, and it kind of covers all the different areas. First of all, is the picture here, as it says, in verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, those that are sick, a blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. And so we have here those that are sick, in other words, people that are helpless. We have those that are blind, those that can't see. We have those that are lame that can't walk, and those that are paralyzed that are useless. And so this is not the effect of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is the effect of sin in people's lives down through the years, and he's ended up with people having all these different things that slow them up or stop them. And it shows a picture of that effect. And here he is now on the scene, coming and seeing and realizing all this. He knows all this. And he goes to the man and says, he asked him a question again, "Wilt thou be made well?" He certainly knew the answer to that question, that everybody, as I said, even though we might be not feeling good or not having some problems or whatever else, certainly want to be made well. We like that feeling and enjoy when we can be. But again, he knows that the answer was to that, yeah, he really wants to be made well physically, But he was really asking him a deeper question, kind of like, do you really want to be made well spiritually? And so while these people were going there, it would almost seem kind of unfair that only one person, seems like there's only like one person, after all these people are there, that only one person kind of gets rescued from their sickness. And maybe they don't even know if this was done more than one time or whatever, but it seems like a very small amount would try to take and do this. And so it sort of shows a picture of what man might try to do on his own, any way that he can possibly do to get something accomplished. And they don't realize that there's the Lord Jesus Christ that can make everything happen. And he did make this happen to this person. As we read the story there, he healed him just by saying, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now he said that, but it also meant that the person had to take and obey that. And so the person wasn't made well until he followed after that. But when he was made well, it says immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. With regards to being, you know, if you're down, laying down all the time, you're not going to get up and run around very easily. And I don't think that was the case here. I think that, you know, because you're weak and you don't have the strength in your legs, the person got up and immediately was full strength and able to take and go. And so it was a miracle on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's all these people with all this sickness there, and here the one that was really there that could help them all, they sort of didn't know or didn't follow or didn't follow after. In fact, I guess they say after this particular point, because of healing on the Sabbath, that it was kind of like the turning point where those that were against him really went even further, even had more intensity with regards to that particular thing. The other thing that was kind of interesting to note, I didn't realize it as I read through, was how old was he? 38. And then I said about the Lord, you could find that the Lord's in his genealogy was 30 years plus 3. So if he's here on the scene, he's already here before he's already died. So sometime between his 30th year and his 33rd year. And so here this man was sick, what? Before Christ was even born. And yet he sort of still knew that this person was going to be here. He knew about him. He knew everything that he needed to have. And so again, showing what the Lord does know even in advance. And so before he was even born, this man was sick for all those years. Now sometimes we might say, you know, that's an awful long time to be sick. Well, and then we think of the people of Israel. 400 years they were in bondage. And so sometimes God does things, as I said here, very immediately. If he told him, rise, take up thy bed and walk, and by the man doing that, he was immediately healed. And so he does it instantly at that point, but there's other times when he spreads it over a long period of time. And he doesn't say, this one's going to be fast, this one's going to be slow, this one's going to be whatever, because he's the one that's in sovereign and in control. And so sometimes it takes a long time that he can have things develop. We know, as we've been studying Acts, that there's been those that have been there for a purpose, being sick. And it was to use it as God saw fit to take and do that. So, as John talks about Nicodemus, he talks about the Lord and the fact that he's a teacher. Recognizes that he's a teacher. He recognizes that he does miracles, that he's sort of like some special person. And then, of course, we get the whole portion of John 3:16 in there. But Nicodemus kind of recognized, so here's this person, and he could be said he's a good person, very good person. He's a good teacher. He's a special person. He does all this healing. But Christ wanted them to take and realize, and we have the healing that happened here, he wanted them to realize that there's more than just the healer, that he's the great Savior. And so we come to that point and realize that he's died for us. He could be the best man there is and do all these good things, but beyond that, he became the Savior of the world. Beyond those things, beyond those great qualities, he's the Savior of the world. He was taken to grips with regards to doing things on the Sabbath there, and we read about in the Ten Commandments the fact that the Sabbath was special. But in the case of here, the idea is that did he do anything wrong? Well, he didn't do any work. So it seems to me that if he takes and heals somebody, or if he takes and is concerned about somebody, showing mercy, that doesn't count in those things that talking about doing any work. And so what they thought was wrong on his part was acceptable from his standpoint. And so the person was healed and the person was made well physically, whether he's made well spiritually, only time will tell. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we have for Mother's Day a son that they, Mary, certainly could be tremendously proud of.